نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. بعد، we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his mercy that is abundant. He made it permissible and possible for us to convene so that we can continue to explain and benefit from the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah that we have been reading for quite some weeks now. Today, inshallah, we'll continue with the explanation on the hadith, Hadith al-Sadiq al-Masduq, the fourth hadith, Al-Hadith al-Rabi' from Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. In that hadith, Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah stated and said that an Abi Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu qala حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل إليه الملك فينفخ فيه الروح فيؤمر بأربع كلمات بكسب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد، فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع، فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها، وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع، فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها. رواه البخاري ومسلم. In this hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, حَدَّثَنَا أَصْطَادِقُ الْمَسْدُوكِ, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the ever truthful one, and who is believed, who was promised, and the promise given to him were fulfilled, narrated to us. We mentioned last week that the scholars of hadith and their leaders are the companions radiallahu anhum. And the overall leader, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say that when we hear haddathana, what they mean is that the person who gave them the narration has not narrated only to the person narrating. It is not just the person who has reported this hadith, for example here, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that has heard this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's saying haddathana makes us understand that more than him heard the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why the ulama say, وَقَدْ رَوَاهُ جَمَاعَةٌ مِنَ الصُّحَابَةِ, a group among the companions have reported this hadith, مُطَوَّلًا وَمُخْتَصَرًا. Some of them reported the hadith giving details, and some of them reported the hadith in brief. They will just pick phrase from the hadith and they will report it. Some of them will report the length of all of what we have heard from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. That they say, Minhum Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And from amongst the people is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abu Abdirrahman. Wa huwa al-ashhar bil hadith. And from all the companions who have reported the hadith, he is the most popular with it. The hadith is known as his own hadith, as if nobody reported the hadith except him. This is not just in this case. The second hadith we read, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Bainama nahnu julusun. We remember that hadith, the first companion in the isnad of the hadith from below was Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar was quoting his hadith, Haddathani Abi Hafs. So this makes us understand that reports, when they come like that, they can be called by the name of a person, even when he's not the only one who has reported the hadith, but he became popular with the hadith. And we remember that hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also has a report of the same hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, from where that love was picked, the one we read, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. So the fact that Abu Huraira, Anas bin Malik and others that we mentioned also reported the hadith, it does not mean that it is not the hadith of Umar. It's just because it is called the hadith of Umar or hadith of Jibreel. Because Umar became popular with the hadith, radiallahu anhu. Well, Jibreel became popular in major matter as far as the hadith is concerned. So this hadith is known with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, not because he alone reported it, as we shall see, but because he became popular with the hadith. Wa Anas bin Malik, from those who have also reported this hadith, was Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Wa Huzaifatu ibn Asid, an eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzaifa ibn Asid is different from Huzaifatu ibn al-Yaman. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman is younger compared to Huzaifa ibn Asid radiallahu anhu. وعبد الله بن عمر وسهل بن سعد. These are from those who have reported the hadith. وابو هريرة حافظ الأمة رضي الله عنه. عبد الرحمن بن صخر وعائشة رضي الله عنها أم المؤمنين. وابو ذر, أبو ذر also reported this hadith. ومالك بن حويرث, مالك بن حويرث who came and stayed 20 days with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم thereabout, also reported this hadith. وابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. So Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, also reported the hadith. وعبد الله ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنهما, also reported the hadith. جابر ibn Abdullah al-Ansari رضي الله عنهما, also reported the hadith. So Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari have mentioned about 15 companions who have reported this hadith. That is just usually known to be the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. 15 companions reported the hadith. And there are riwayat in Bukhari, some of them in Muslim, some of them in Tirmidhi, some of them in other books of hadith. As we shall see today, inshallah. As we have said, the most popular of these riwayat, of these reports, is that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. And from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn al-Hajar, rahimahullah, have mentioned 10 persons who reported from him. But the most popular amongst those 10, most popular because maybe Al-Imam al-Bukhari has used it, the riwayah more, and because the riwayah contains a lot of alfaz that are not contained in other riwayahs. That is, the wording contains other wordings, other things that makes the hadith more in terms of length and what will benefit from it, more than the report of all others apart from him. And that was the eminent Tabi'i Bal Mukhabram Zayd ibn Wahab. Zayd ibn Wahab was from one of those who was always with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And he accepted Islam when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And it was reported that he was coming to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but before he got to Medina, the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he is a mukhabram, The Mukhazramun are those who accepted Islam when the Prophet was alive, but they were not opportune to meet with the Prophet Muhammad. There are many of them like that, like Qadi Abidat Salman, like Qadi Shuraish, many of them, Imam al-Aswad, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also, he was a Mukhazram, radiallahu anhum. So the one who reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was Zayd ibn Wahab. But together with him, about 10 have reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Together with Al-Imam Zayd ibn Wahab, alayhi rahmatullah, about 10 others have reported the hadith also from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. From them are one of his children, Abu Ubaidah ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the children of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And from amongst them also, Al-Qamar ibn Qais, one of the best students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So all of these and many others reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Like we said, the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is popular amongst the companions for that hadith. Amongst the tabi'un also, Zayd ibn Wahab is popular for that hadith, because his own riwayah has been widely used, as we have said. So from him also, radiallahu anhu. But Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Al-Mizzi, alayhi rahmatullah, in Tahzib Al-Kamal, while he was talking about this tabi'in Zayd ibn Wahab, he said, rawahu anhu, this hadith, because it's very popular with the hadith. So Al-Imam Al-Mizzi said, رواه عنه العدد الكبير والجم القصير. في رواه عنه يعني عن زيد بن وهب العدد الكبير, a large number of people reported the hadith from زيد بن وهب, very large number of them. Even when Ibn Hajar عليه رحمة الله mentioned only four in Fath al-Bari, but Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi said رواه عنه العدد الكبير والجم الغفير, a large number of people in their number reported from him. And he used another word, الجم الغفير, also meaning عدد كبير. So large number of people reported from Zayd ibn Wahab. Also from Zayd ibn Wahab, we shall try to explain why are we saying the number of people who have reported this hadith in the various pages of report. Why is it necessary to make us understand that this is a hadith that has been reported by a large number of people at every stage of its report? Inshallah, we'll try to explain that, inshallah. So for one of those who is mostly known with this hadith from Zayd ibn Wahab was Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran, mostly known among the scholars of hadith as Imam al-A'mash. He's very popular with this hadith. And from him, the mostly known with that riwayah was Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, one of his best students. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj will follow Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran right from when he was a child. Everywhere he went, he went it. Everywhere he went, he went it. And he said there are a lot of people that he did not learn from them. Not because he did not want to learn from them, but because he was busy with Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He was always with him. So he became popular with the hadith. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, radiallahu anhu. But together with him, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he said that over 40 people reported the hadith from Imam al-A'mash together with Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. And so Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, وَكُنْتُ خَرَّجْتُهُ فِي جُزْءٍ مِنْ تُرُكٍ. I was compiling these hadiths and the various reports from the various chains of narrations, نَحْوَ الْأَرْضَئِينَ نَفْسًا, such that they are about 40 people that I was compiling, I was gathering. Those reported the hadith from Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran, عن الْعَمَّشِ, he said, أَبْهَابَ أَنِّي الْآنِ, but that's my compilation, it's not with me now. وَلَوْ أَمْعَنْتُ تَتَبُّعَ لَزَادُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. If I had looked for more reports, there would have been more than 40. If I had tried to look for more narrators, those who narrated the hadith from Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, there will be more than 40. I had 40 in somewhere I wrote, I can't find it now. But if I had followed up the narrations more, I would have gotten more than 40 from those who reported this hadith from Sulaiman ibn Mihran alayhi rahmatullah. So for كل هذا يقتضي اختلاف الروايات والألفاظ. So the fact that many of the people reported the hadith, number one, many companions, imagine from the side of Ibn Mas'ud, let's say 10 from him, 10 from the next person, 10, 10, 10 like that. Then from the other companions, 15 other companions. You see, there are a lot of people who reported the hadith at every stage. So this would imply that فَيَخْتَلِفُ الْأَلْفَاظُ تَقْدِيمًا وَتَأْخِيرًا. So the alfaz of the hadith, the wordings of the hadith, some of them will report the hadith bringing some things that should come later, bringing it first. So then some of them will make taqdeem and ta'khir. Some of them, what came first, we'll mention it later. Al-Ababi riwayat to tartib al-zikri, that is making an arrangement of just listing, not necessarily arranging something that is at camp. We know that this is common with people. Someone may hear somebody mention five things. While some people will mention all the five that you were mentioned, someone else will mention all the five, scattering it. Just saying, let me just make sure that I've mentioned five things. Not necessarily, you know, following the sequence with which they had heard it. So there will be taqdeem wa ta'khir. There will be ikhtisaran wa mutawwalan. Some will report the narration with summary, and some will report the narration in detail. Look at the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab we read, the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wa salam. That hadith was mentioned in detail by Abdullah ibn Umar, beginning from his father and his father, the tabi'i who reported from him, Sumayd al-Himyari. He reported also from the time they came to meet Abdullah. In fact, what made them to go and meet Abdullah ibn Umar in the first place? Meanwhile, people like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu just said that one day we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One man came and sat down and was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say the riwayah of Abu Hurairah, when compared with the riwayah of Umar ibn al-Khattab, is what? Bil-ikhtisar. And we say the riwayah of, that is the report of Umar, when compared with that of Abu Hurairah, is what? Mutawwala. That is, it came with some greater details. So these kind of things. So when the people are many, these kind of things come. Some things did not mention, some people will mention it. Some things some people mentioned, some people will not mention it. So there will be tatwil and there will be what? Istifa. There will also be mubhaman wa mufassiran or mufassiran. So some things, they may not mention their names. For example, the hadith of the companion radiallahu anhu, the one who was told by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Innaka rajulun fika jahiliya." Who was that? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. He was told that by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the rest of the companions reported that hadith, they did not mention, many of them did not mention the name of Abu Dharr. So when he mentioned the report, he was the one who said, "I was the one." So when we said in the report of Allah, there's what? Ibrahim, not mentioning his own name. In his own report, we said there's what? Tafsir. That he made it clear. So the Ibrahim in the report of the others will be known from the tafsir of his own report. All these things are characteristics of reports that are many. And this will make us understand that this hadith is the same. So there are so many things, many alfaz that you see from different routes. They are not in some are here, some are not there. So which will make us understand that it will not be possible to put the hadith in right perspective until these reports are put into one another. So some things would have to happen. From that is al-jam'u. بدون تعسف وتعسر. There has to be compiling the reports, compiling the parts of the reports. without ta'assur or ta'assuf, without difficulty, combining the parts of the report, these things shall come clearer, inshallah. Like we said, let us quickly give an example of that. But in Bukhari and Muslim, the law of nutfatah does not occur. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْضَئِينَ يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً. This kalima nutfatan, it does not occur in the riwayah of Imam Bukhari, in his sahih. It does not also occur in the riwayah of Imam Muslim, in his sahih. The question is, so where does it come from? Where does it come from, this tafsir, this ziyada of nutfatan? The right thing is that this ziyada of nutfa, we come back to the meanings of the hadith. What we are just saying is, because a lot of people have reported the hadith, it will not be proper to understand the hadith alone. You will see by the time we come to explaining the hadith that different wordings from different reports will necessitate a change in some of what we will think will be the meaning of some of the phrases in this hadith. Let's quickly give an example. How many times did the malaika come to the fetus? By the love of Imam Bukhari that we have in this hadith, the malaika will come once. But it appears from other riwayat that the malaika will come more than once. We will not believe that except we agree to combine the reports. There are riwayat that makes us understand, we shall get there inshallah, that after the first 40 or so days, the malaika comes asking Allah, Ya Rabbi, nutfatan, oh my Lord, this nutfa, should it go ahead or I should destroy it? Should it continue? Wahidun aw tawamun, should it be one or I should double it? So he will start asking from the first 40 days. After the 40th day, the malaika comes and starts asking this question. So, but at the same time, what is popularly known, because consideration is not given to other riwayat of this hadith, is that the malaika does not come until 120 days. Do we understand? So it will require making jam'u bayn al-riwayat, a combination of the reports. Sometimes the combination is not possible. They are too far away. So the second thing that will be made in the process of understanding this hadith is tarjihat. Nurajjih ba'd al-riwayat ala ba'd al-ukhra. We will give preponderance of evidence for some riwayat over some other because of some evidences. Let's give an example. Which one happens first? The writing of the akdar, the four things that are mentioned in the Quran, is it the writing that comes first or the blowing of life into the body? If you read this hadith, as we have it in Arbaun, because what it says is that summa yursal ilayhi al-malak fayanfukhu fihi ar-ruh. So it will mean that blowing the life will come before what? Because it said wa yu'maru bi arba'in. Because there is key. So apparently it means it will be like as if the life will be blown, then the malaika will write. But this is not the case. The malaika writes first before life is blown. How do we know that? Tarjih. We'll come to that inshallah when we begin to explain parts of the hadith. We are just trying to say that because riwayat are many, the alfaz are many, the hadith will not be put in its right place, will not be given its due, unless it is understood in the light of all of these various riwayat. So it will necessitate al-jam'u bayn al-riwayat, combining the reports, and it will also necessitate what? At-tarjihat bayn al-riwayat. At-tarjih, giving more evidence for some reports, giving support, giving preference for some riwayat over some other, because of certain things that will happen, inshallah. We'll try to mention them as much as possible, inshallah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi أربعين يوما نطفة. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all of you, each one of you, يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ, his creation becomes combined, becomes put together, في بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ, in the womb of his mother, أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا, for a period of 40 days, نُطْفَةً, that it will exist in the nutfa form. So all of us, he says alayhi salatu wasalam, that all of us, our creation is brought into existence by a gradual procedure of combination in the womb of our mother in the form of a nutfa over a period of 40 days. So the question is, what is a nutfa and how does the combination occur? The nutfa is said to be picked from nuts propulsion, لِأَنَّهُ يَنْطِفْ, because it propels your seal, it goes. And the nutfa is generally the semen of the man and what we can call the ovum of the woman. In a more general and liberal sense, the sex cells of the man and the sex cells of the woman. So each of them is referred to as nutfa because they have that ability of swimming, moving. They are propelled, they surge ahead. So as we have it in man, that a man ejaculates. So the scientists say that in every ejaculation, about 0.5% of every, you know, ejaculation, only 0.5% of it has the sex cells. And this 0.5% of it contains about between 200 to 300 million sex cells in every ejaculation. Of course, they say about 100 million sex cells are created in the practice of human beings, of males, every day. Every day, they say about 100 million sex cells are produced in the testes of men every day, 100 million. So when he ejaculates one, between 200 to 300 million sex cells, they surge, they move out. Some of them become destroyed right from the entrance of the vagina of the woman. Allah destroys some of them. And Allah treated them in such a way that they have like oblong shaped heads, like eggs, and they have some trails behind them, such that you teach easily you can move. So when the Sharia, Allah refers to it as nutfa, there is no better word. There is no better word because of its ability to move. And it creates, it has half percent in every ejaculation. The rest are fluids and other materials that will aid its own movement. So it moves and swims up the fallopian tube, or what is it called, of the woman. So some of them become destroyed. Some of them just do not have the ability to swim ahead. And by the time they get close to where they will fertilize the head, out of between 200 million and 300 million sex cells that are struggling in a single ejaculation, the man could have ejaculated more than once, which would have meant that the competition would be between 500 to 600 million sex cells. Only about 400 will succeed to the point where they will be about fertilizing with the egg. So a scientist who wrote about this direct, he said only one of them will fertilize the egg. But what determines which one fertilizes the egg, he does not know. What will determine which one will fertilize? 400. First, what will determine which of the 400 out of about 400 million meaning from every 1 million, only one has a chance. So what determines which 400 has the chance? So when the 400 arrive the point where they fertilize the egg, what determines which one of the 400 that survived that will fertilize the egg? So that is their own motion and their movement. That is being talked about huge amount. They are being combined. They are brought together. So Allah makes them come together. So when it finally fuses with the egg, they say that, and this is confirmed in the hadith, we'll read the hadith, it is from the alfaz of this same hadith from another companion radiallahu anhu, that after about 6 or 7 days, the genetic materials, the materials of resemblance that the sperm from the male is carrying, it deposits it into the egg. After about 6 to 7 days, it was carrying something on its head, like carrying an atomic bomb head. So when it gets there, it drops it in the combination. So it fuses. So Allah says, huge ma'u. Also, it is not the only one that was moving. Even for it, it said, Alam yaku nukfatan min maniyin yumna. Was man not from nukfa, from semen, yumna, that is ejaculated? So Allah makes us understand that what makes us come from one of what we have, some of what we ejaculated. He said, min mani yin yumna. Not of all of what the money, but some of the money, part of it. So it fuses and the egg takes it and they are in combination. The egg too was moving. It was moving in its, as it said, anti-clockwise direction. Coming down too. So while this is coming up, swimming up, the sperm cells, the sex cells of men, swimming up, the sex cells of the woman is also swimming down. So you say this kalima that the Prophet used, alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sadiqul masduq, yujma'u, is the best of what can be used. Yujma'u. Say yujma'u. The nutfa from man, the nutfa from a woman, yujma'u. So he says to us in Surah Al-Insan, what does he say? He says, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshaj. So we created man, this is nutfatin amshaj, the zygote, the combined amshaj. It's not ordinary nutfa. Now he says, min maniyin yumna. It says, from semen that is ejaculated. So in Surah Al-Insan, that's in Qiyamah. In Insan, it says, Amshadin, Nutfatin, Amshad. Combined, the two of them, even as combination, are still referred to as what? Nutfa. But this time, Amshad. It's not one Nutfa, combined. It's combined now. Nutfatin, Amshad. So combined Nutfa. So he drops its genetic materials, and they say that there will be series of sex cell differentiation. The cells begin to multiply from one small thing, another small thing, then this big whole picture that we have comes. So the one that will form the eye starts to differentiate, to take position, to become an eye. The one that will become a nose, each of them starts differentiating to form a nose. Who tells them what they will become and who where to be, what who should be what, which one should take what position? The one that will take the position of the belly will take the position of the belly, and each of them, everybody starts struggling. Let me go to my place where I likely belong. Who taught them what to do and how to differentiate and segregate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it says, yujma'u khalquhu fi batni arba'ina yawman nutfatan. So it will be like this for a long period, 40 days. Even when there are riwayat that makes us understand that it may be more than 40 days. We'll come to that, inshallah. So this nutfa remains for 40 days. There is a problem, like we said, that some of people say, no, the word nutfa does not exist. Yes, the word nutfa does not exist in the riwayah of Imam Bukhari and in the riwayah of Imam Muslim, but it exists in other riwayahs. There is a brother, mashallah, who has done a good work, being very frank and fair, about explaining the hadith of Al-Arba'un, Imam al-Nawawi. That's Jamaluddin Zarabuzul. But regarding this hadith, I do not have the book in my house now. A brother just called me and he was raising this issue that some of the brothers, like Jamaluddin Zarabuzul, he wrote, even when we had read that work, when the book first came out some years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, very old book. More than 10 years. So then we didn't give much attention to it. So, but now the brother was now raising the issue that Jamaluddin is insisting that there is no nutfa. Yes, there is no nutfa in the riwayah of Bukhari and Muslim. So he says, this last word is a mistake. I'm quoting Jamaluddin Zarabuzo in his book, the first volume, volume 1, page 389 to 391. The copies of it were sent to me of what he said. He said, this last word is a mistake. That is not certain. It's a mistake and it's not part of the hadith. So he quoted a man called Al-Qadha. This is his attitude. The way he writes, if he's quoting somebody, you will not know whether the person he's quoting is somebody who is alive or dead. Because if you are somebody who is dead, he should say Rahimahullah. If it's somebody who is alive, he should say Hafizahullah. But none of it, that's not his attitude in the book. Even when he mentions the companion, no Radiallahu anhu, he just goes ahead. That is not a good attitude of dealing with the Salaf of Saleh. One of them said that it is not fair for you that you read from our works and benefit from our knowledge, and you mention our name, وَلَا تُرَحِّمُ عَلَيْنَا وَلَا تَتَرَحَّمُ عَلَيْنَا, and then you not seek Allah's rahmah upon us. It's not fair. And then this comes from the jumla of the ayah of the Quran, that الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So when we benefit from everything imani from them, we should say rahimahullah to them. So he quoted this person, Al-Qadha, Allahu Alam, man huwa. He said, the word nutfa has been incorrectly added to the text. It is not mentioned in any of the existing sources of sunnah. This man says to Al-Qadha, that upon whom Jamaluddin Zarabuzo has relied, that it is not mentioned in any of the existing sources of the sunnah. This is wrong. However, it is found in some of the books of the later writers, such as hadith number 4 of An-Nawawi, 40 hadith. He said the word is not in hadith, but later people came and they put it there. So the person you mentioned was Imam An-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. He continued, he said, this author, referring to himself, personally checked all the references to different locations in Sahih Bukhari. We said about 4 or 5 places Imam Bukhari reported this hadith in his Sahih. He said he checked all. Sahih Muslim, in about 6 or 7 places in Sahih Muslim. He said he checked it. Musnad Ahmad and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and other works that are given in Shu'ayb Arnaout's footnotes to Ibn Hajar's Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. So what he checked is restricted to the areas, the authorities to whom Shu'ayb Arnaout, Sheikh Shu'ayb Arnaout, referred the hadith. Those to whom the Imam Shu'ayb, Hafizahullah, did not refer the hadith to, he did not check it from them. Do you understand? He said he checked it on other works that are given, Bukhari, Muslim, Musnad Ahmad, and other works that are given in Shu'ayb Arnaout footnotes to Ibn Hajar, Ibn Rajab's Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. So his checking is restricted to the references, the Takhrij of Sheikh Shu'ayb Arnaout. He said, these do not mention the word nutfa, meaning all of what he has checked, there is nowhere where they mention the word nutfa. So he has a footnote to that. In the footnote, he said, Salim al-Hilali, Sheikh Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali, has a book he calls al-Himam. And he calls al-Himam, al-Muntaqa min Jami al-Ulum wal-Hikam, also simply, he wants to prove that Sheikh Salim also did not mention anywhere where that word nutfa can be found. That he simply referred to Al-Bukhari and Muslim without making note of this discrepancy. That is, without making note of the discrepancy that the word nutfa does not occur in Bukhari and Muslim. He just said Bukhari, Muslim, and went ahead. So he went on. He also even referred to Sheikh Al-Albani in Sahih Jami al-Saghir. That Sheikh Al-Albani also used the word nutfa. And he did not say where the word nutfa is. And he did not say that nutfa does not occur in Bukhari and Muslim. This is istidrak. He has said the ala hawla al-ulama. Istidrak. He is istidrak yastadrik alayhim, is trying to say you didn't know this one, let me tell you it. This is what they refer to as istidrak. Just like when you say someone who innovates something into Islam, yastadrik ala sharia, he's trying to say that what the sharia did not know, he knows it. So this is istidrak on these ulama. So he said most likely this was an explanation offered by one of the narrators but did not form part of the hadith, as is clear from all the authentic narrations. So we say it is wrong. This position is a wrong position. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari referred this hadith, nutfa, this kalima nutfa, to Imam Abu Awana in his Mustakhraj, and the isnad is sahih. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, volume 11, page 584, after this hadith, Kitab al-Qadr, referred this kalima nutfa to Imam Abu Awan. And it is also from the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Also from the riwayah of Zayd ibn Wahab, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That is what al-Hafiz ibn Hajar referred to. As a young person trying to look for the truth, I also try to search other sources. Perhaps I can find other references. So if we look at Gharib al-Hadith of Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Ishaq al-Harbi, he also referred to the kalima nutfa. Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Ishaq al-Harbi is a mu'asir of Imam Bukhari. One of his teachers, Sulaiman ibn Harb, from whom he reported this hadith, is from the teachers of Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari has reported over 10 ahadith in his sahih aslan from this Imam Sulaiman ibn Harb. Ibrahim al-Harbi reported this hadith from Sulaiman ibn Harb. And Sulaiman ibn Harb reported the hadith from Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. So it goes back to the first isnad. Do we understand? The first isnad of Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj from Sulaiman ibn Mihran, from Zayd ibn Wahab, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So these rijal, it is permissible to say that هذا الإسناد صحيح على شرط البخاري. Because all the ruwats are from Rijal al-Bukhari. So this report, this addition, nutfa, rightly occurs. For that, we will find it in the hadith of Al-Imam Ibrahim al-Harbi, the fourth volume, page 425. It has another report. It has another reference. The kalima nutfa. And in another authentic report. That one is found in Mu'jam ibn al-A'rabi. Ibn al-A'rabi, not the Sufi. The Sufi is Ibn al-Arabi al-Sufi. Without ma'rifa. Ibn al-Arabi al-Sufi. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Ibn al-Arabi al-Sufi. He is a condemned human being. Yes. Because he believes that every other thing aside Allah can be Allah. He believes that every other thing aside Allah can be Allah. So it's not the one we are referring to here. There is also the Imam also, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. So this is one of the A'imah of Malikiya. He has a tafsir of Quran, he has other books too. Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. He is Imam. Fil hadith wal fiqh wal tafsir. He has a book of tafsir that exceeds over 400 volumes. Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. And he's the one who wrote the very popular book, Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, fi tahkiki mawaqif al-Sahaba, ba'da wafati Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very nice book on the issues of firqa, that is sects and sectarianism, and their origin in the history of Islam. So that one is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki. This one, al-Imam, he is Abu Sa'id Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn al-A'rabi. He has a mu'jam called Mu'jam ibn al-A'rabi. So in that mu'jam, the second volume, page 450, he also reported this hadith, mentioned the kalima nutfa. So it is not correct for the brother Jamaluddin or Jamal Zarabozo to say or to depend on the statement of the one who said that, that it is not mentioned in any of the existing sources of the Sunnah, it is wrong. It exists in the sources of Sunnah. If they had even made the key that to our knowledge could have been better. So, and this also makes us understand that it is usually very dangerous for a young person to contradict what the great scholars are upon. So when Ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah had mentioned in Fathul Bari that kalima nutfa exists in an authentic riwaya, it does not behoove some of these people to come out and say no, it does not exist. Especially bearing in mind that Ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah was saying that he had devoted time to be searching for the riwayat of this hadith. Do you remember that? So there is no doubt that he came across more narrations. So when they say it does not exist in any of the books of existing Sunnah, how many of the books of existing Sunnah have they checked? If they had even listed, it should at least they could have been better. So this, because the brother Jamaluddin made statements that indicated some disrespect for the scholars while he was refuting them regarding this matter. He was refuting them while he was the one on the wrong. That's why it pains the heart that someone is mentioning this kind of thing. But the book is common among the English-speaking people. So that's why, because this discussion is English speaking too, I think it's necessary that we mention them. So it is authentic that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's another question that should come. Since it is authentic that Nutfa exists in that hadith, and it's authentically reported by some of those who have also reported the hadith, why then was it not referred to the sources from where this kalima Nutfa came? Well, Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah did not do that because of two reasons, Allahu A'lam. The first reason is that the most of what he needed from this hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. The only thing that's not there is the kalima nutfa. So if he says the hadith is in Bukhari, the hadith is in Bukhari. Don't forget, we said it, mutawwalan rawahu, mutawwalan wa mukhtasaran. So if he is using a riwaya mutawwala, he does not need to refer to an azu that is riwaya mukhtasara. Do we understand? He's using a report, a wording that is mutawwala. It does not bind on him, it's not binding on him to refer to a riwaya that is in summary. He just needed one word. He does not have to refer to it. Of all of what he has said, only one word is not in Bukhari and Muslim. He does not have to refer to it. And let's not forget, he said he intends ikhtisar. In the Muqaddimah we read, Imam al-Nawawi said he intends that he makes everything in what? In summary. So if he has to say Rawal Bukhari wa Muslim wa Abu Awana wa Ibrahim al-Harbi fi Garib al-Hadith wa Ibn al-Arabi fi, and he starts mentioning, there will be too many things to deal with in the book. It is not worthy for him, alayhi rahmatullah. The matter is with those of us who come behind, not to oppose them, except there is clear evidence. Because what it means to refer to somebody as imam in a fan, in a discipline, is that he is basically right in everything he says, until you can prove him otherwise. That is what the English-speaking audience refer to as is an authority in the field. So you do not disagree with an authority, except the evidences are clear as the daylight. Alayhim rahmatullah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, conveniently we can say it now, that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman nutfat. So there's no gumud. Bi'idhnillah. There is another area in this hadith where some difference have come, some of which led some of the people we mentioned to take the opinions they have. And that is the issue of 40. In some riwayat, 42 is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. In some riwayat, 45 is mentioned also in Sahih Muslim. In some riwayat, 43 is mentioned. In some riwayat, bid'u wa arba'in, that is between 1, 3, 5. Bid'u, when you say bid'u wa ishrin, it means 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9. So when they say bid'u wa arba'in, it means it can even exceed to 49. Do we understand? So these have also been mentioned for the level of nutfa. So how do we resolve that difference? Yarhamukallah. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar resolves it. Don't forget, we said when there are reports like this, some people will say, I think he mentioned 40, and to just go like that. Some people will say, no, it was 40 exactly that he mentioned, to just go like that, and they are students. And this is how all of these came. But which one actually did he mention? All of them have come from authentic roots. So, awala najma abayna riwayat. So we use all the reports all together by saying that all of them is possible. Sometimes it can be, the stage of nutfa can take 40 days. Sometimes it can take 41. Sometimes it can take 43. Sometimes it can take 45 and so on. This is jam'an bayn al-adillah. That's why some of the scholars say that this one has al-amur bihasbil adinna. That the issue of 40, 41, 43, or 45 depends on the fuetus. So each fuetus, some can be 41, some can be 42, some can be 43, some can be 45, the odd number, but not 50. So it means the 40 may exceed, the fourth 40 days of nutfa may fall in, may lap into some of the days of halaqa. Do we understand? So if we have just taken ijma wa khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman nutfatan, we have not been fair. There are reports that indicate that hu aksar min arba'ina yawman. So it can be 41, it can be 43, it can be 45, 47, or 49. Jam'an bayna riwayat. So this is what the ulama have said, alayhim rahmatullah. We can find that also in Fathul Bari. Also, there is also a difference. We say, fi batni ummihi. In some riwayat, ar-raham is mentioned. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said this is not a problem because the raham is inside the body. Some it is mentioned the stomach. Some it is mentioned the uterus. Is that okay? The uterus is inside the stomach, so that is not a problem. We understand. Jam'an bayna al-riwayat. So when we say inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman nutfatan, I hope it is clear. All of us, our creation is gathered. We have known how they become gathered in the womb of our parents for over a period of about 40 days. 41 or 43 or so, as we have mentioned. And these occur in the nutfa form. So the nutfa occurs and it begins to change. Like we said, it begins to differentiate shay'an for shay'an, little by little. little by little. But I say there are two ahadiths we should just read regarding the nutfa form before we go ahead. It will help us to understand some of its details, inshallah. The first hadith is a hadith that has been reported by Imam al-Tabarani. Al-hadith is graded Hassan by Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar لأنه سكت عليه وسكوت ابن حجر في الفتح يقتدي التحسين. So he said عليه رحمة الله إذا أراد الله خلق عبد, when Allah intends to create a servant of his, أجامع الرجل المرأة, and the man cohabits with the woman, his wife. He says, صار ماؤه في كل عرق وعضو منها. His ma, his nutfa, goes around her. It goes in her. Such that, he said, صار ماؤه في كل عرق وعضو منها. So the water, her, his own fluid, it goes all around her descent, all around her ancestry. That of the male goes round it, at least in trying to combine ancestral properties, genetic properties. Allahu Alam. He says, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ السَّابِعِ, on the seventh day, جَمَعَهُ اللَّهِ, Allah combines it. You know, it was searching for genetic properties, genetic characteristics from the woman. So on the seventh day, Allah combines them. He says, "Summa ahdarahu kulla irkin lahu duna Adam." From Adam down, at the seventh day, every tiny resemblance that the man has from Adam down in him will combine, this is his own resemblance, will combine with that of the woman. So this makes us understand what they say. They say there is genetic exchange at about 6 or 7 days. This hadith clarifies that. What occurs in the nutfa stage? What occurs from the major things that occur in the nutfa stage before the first 40 days? There is exchange of resemblance, genetic characteristics between the two cells. That is the first hadith we like to read. The second hadith we like to read to us is a combination of hadith that the Prophet, though we mentioned it briefly, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ وَكَّلَ بِالرَّحْمِ مَلَكًا. Allah has given an angel the duty in the womb. So the womb of women has angels that has responsibility for childbearing matters in her womb. So how many malaika do we have? وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا. Allah alone knows their number. So if every woman has an angel that's taking care of the nutfa in her womb, then Allah alone knows the number of angels he has created. So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah has designated an angel for the womb. For yakul, this angel, at the end of the first 40, within this period, imma 40, 41. So when we say 40, understand it like that, for nutfa. He says, فَيَكُولْ أَيْ رَبِّ, oh my Lord, nutfatan, should this nutfa go ahead? In another way, it's hard. أَيْ رَبِّ عَلَقَةً, should I allow it to transit from عَلَقَةُ to mudga, or I should just destroy the whole thing? And it begins to ask Allah other things. Should it be two or should it be one? That is the angel that is responsible for the womb. We are going to understand it when we mention Summa Yursal Ilayhi Al-Malak. That is another coming of another angel according to Imam Ibn Salah. But for the first 41 or so days, the angel is there. It is his duty to take care of the womb. He might destroy it or he must sustain it. He might destroy it, he must sustain it until the child is born. So those riwayat are in Sahih Muslim. Most of these riwayat, they are in Sahih Muslim. He said, Ya Rabbi, asaqtun am tam? Is asking, oh my Lord, asaqtun, should I make it a miscarriage? Or tam, I should make it complete stage? So when you see the miscarriage, is by the permission of Allah. No miscarriage occurs except that Allah permits it to occur. May Allah gladden the eyes of those who have suffered from this, and make them gladden their eyes with children that will gladden their eyes in this world and in the hereafter. So all this do not happen except by the permission of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is for the stage of alaqa, for the stage of nutfa. So he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, summa yakunu alaqatan misla dhalik. So it becomes alaqa for another such period. So it begins to transform again. The alaqa is a clot of blood. So it has transformed from nutfa. The semen of we, the men, is whitish in color. And I think the ovum is also whitish. From whitish. I'm sure it's not red in any way. But because it, from transformation and all that, it becomes the reddish thing that we see in alaqa form. That is a clot of blood from differentiation, formation. Everybody taking position. It changes to alaqa. Allahu Akbar. So summa yakunu mudghatan. Ulama says summiyat alaqatun li'annahu yu'alliku bi jidari rahim. It is named alaqa because it gets attached to the walls of the womb. So because it gets attached to the wall of the womb, it is named what? Alaqa. Something that gets itself attached to the wall of the womb. When even the fertilization occurs within the tube, so it flows down to the womb. If the development occurs along the tube, they say it is an ectopic pregnancy. So it is abnormal. They have to remove it. They have been removing many. But if it flows into the womb and it stays, when it is removed and the fetus is destroyed, it's from the permission of Allah to keep it or to destroy it. So it flows into the womb and gets attached to the walls of the womb. So that's why it is named alaqa. So that goes on. And the transformation also continues. Several procedures, cell differentiation, meiosis, mitosis, all the things there, they are taking place by the permission of Allah. Before those people knew that it was meiosis and meiosis. He says, alayhi salatu wassalam, summa yakunu mubghatan misla dhalik. Then it becomes a mubgha for another similar period. It's a summa litarahi abi wa tartib. Thereafter, it becomes a mubgha for another similar period. They say the mubgha is like a lump of flesh. But it is named mubgha because it is appearing like something that is chewed. Mubgha, you know, it chewed something, it's appearing like that. So Allah names it like that. So they come now and they look at it in the microscope and say, oh, it's appearing chewed. Allah said it, and his companions believed it before you started looking at the microscope. So he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, that at this one, at the 120th day, at the 120th day, the area where there is the issue of, is it 41 or 42 or so, is the issue of nutfa. So if it is 41, 42, it extends into the period of alaqa. So the period of alaqa will be a function of the period of nutfa. If the period of nutfa exceeds 40, 43, it means the period of the alaqa will be lower. Because the alaqa occurs for about 40 days. So like that. So after a period of 120 days of nutfa, of alaqa, and of mubgha, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, summa yursalu ilayhi al-malaku, the angel is sent to it afterwards, fayanfuhu fihi ruh, that angel blows life into it at the 120th day. فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And the angel is giving the command of four words. He is giving four words. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ, that he should write the rizq, the wealth, how much wealth will this child have ever in his life or her life? This child, this person, if it becomes born, how much money will it have? Risk. How much provision will it have? And that child or the fetus will not exceed that provision. The day he reaches the provision, he will die or she will die. Say, because the rich he, will it be rich? Will it be poor? It will be written. Wa ajalihi, how much, how long will it live? Lifespan. It will be written. Wa amalihi, what work will it do? Will it be a power person? Will it be a useless person? Will it be a drunkard? Will it be, what will it be? Yuktab. Wa shakiyun aw sa'id. Will it be shaki, a wretched? Someone who will not succeed. Shaki. You know, on the day of Qiyam, Allah says, Yawma la takallama nafsun illa bi'iznihi. Fa minhum shakiyun wa sa'id. He says, on the day of Qiyam, la takallama nafsun illa bi'iznihi. Nobody will say anything to anybody except for the permission of Allah. He says, on that day, فَمِنْهُمْ شَكِيُّونَ. Some of them are wretched people, they will be in hell. وَسْتَعِيدْ. Some people will be successful people. May Allah count us among the successful. So, this rendering that we have mentioned shows that الْكَثِيرْ فَيُؤْمَرُ يَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ comes before الْأَمُرُ بِكَتْبِ أَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ. It appears as if the life is blown into it, and then the command to write all these maqadir comes, but reverse is the case. This is because in the riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah in his Sahih Kitab Al-Qadr, he says, it says that يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا. Here, huna it is tarji, not jam. We see how they made the tarji. Something very, very small makes the difference in tarji. Imam al-Bukhari alayhi rahmatullah reported, he said, يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا. That is after the 40. If you look at the hadith, you see there. The first hadith in Kitab al-Qadr in Sahih Bukhari, or Kitab al-Qadr in Sahih Bukhari. So يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا. Allah will send an angel. فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعٍ. It will be commanded with four things. بِرِزْقِهِ, the wealth, وَأَجَلِهِ, was shakiyun aw sa'id. He now said, and like we said, he said something slightly. He said, summa yanfukhu fihi ruh. In Bukhari, he said it will be given the four commandments. Bikatbi rizqihi wa ajalihi wa amali wa shakiyun aw sa'id. He now said, summa yanfukhu fihi ruh. In the other riwayat, he said, fa yanfukhu fihi ruh. He said, فَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الْرُوحِ. Here he says, ثُمَّ يُنْفَقُ فِيهِ الْرُوحِ. It implies that because ثُمَّ indicates التَّرْتِيب وَالتَّرَاحِي, sequence and a period of time between the first two things that you are mentioning. But the فَاف, نَام, also indicates تَرْتِيب, but the ثُمَّ indicates the greater sequence, greater period. This alfaf, they say biduni mubla. There is no interspace between the two. But summa, there is interspace between the two. So it means there is takdim wa ta'khir. That is, something is put forward and another one is put backwards. Not because they didn't memorize that properly, but because they were just interested in making you understand that they happened after the 120 days. So they were not actually interested in the sequence. We mentioned that at the beginning, that there will be takdeem wa ta'khir, because a lot of people have reported the hadith. So the one that mentioned an-nafqu qabla al-kitaba has made takdeem wa ta'khir. Well, the right thing is al-kitaba thumma an-nafqu, as is indicated in the riwayah of Al-Imam Bukhari. And the difference between the two is one uses the word, the kalima, the harf faf, and the other one uses what? Summa. And with that we can understand what comes before the harf. Allahu Alam. You can read that explanation in Fathul Bari. But this is what he has said alayhi rahmatullah. Imam al-Hafiz Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Hajar al-Asqalani alayhi rahmatullah. So he writes and then the light is blown into it. So when he said ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الْرُوحِ فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ بِكَتْبِ رِزْكِهِ وَعَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, I swear by Allah الذي لا إله غيره, the one beside whom there is no other Lord that is worthy of jinn worship. إن أحدكم, surely Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, why saying, why was the Prophet swearing? Here, he said so that we would know the importance of the matter. It has to do with Jannah and Nah. So take it important. What I'm saying now, take it important. So he said, for Allah, la ilaha illallah. I swear by Allah, beside whom no one should be worshipped. So, inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi amali ahli al-Jannah. Some of you will be doing trial acts. The act of the people of Al-Jannah. Be praying, tahajjud, wearing hijab, wearing, doing good things, fire things. But take them to Al-Jannah. Hatta ma yakuna baynahu wa baynaha illa zira. Until he has, zira is the arm's length, cubit. But it is only indicating closeness to his dying and entering Al-Jannah. So he's walking hatta lil gaya or lil nihaya ma yakunu baynahu, nothing is left between him and al jannah illa dira, except this small time. He will just live 2-3-4 days and die. 1-2-3 weeks he will die. Someone lives for 80 years, 3 weeks before he dies. He's been doing acts of al jannah. 3 weeks before he died, he said, I don't think this Islam is a good religion. A'udhu billah. And he said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ, what had been written now comes, becomes practicalized. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, he says, there is a church near here, let's try it and see. He goes there and believes in all they believe. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, he works, he does what they do, and he dies in it. فَيَدْخُلُهَا, he enters hell. How is that? So that is the reason why nobody should feel convenient that we are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is not over. It is not over. Have you ended upon Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Have you ended upon Sunnah? Have you ended upon Aqidah Sahihah? Have you ended upon Salafiyah Mahba? So the matter is in two ways. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, it can be that he believes things that have to do with belief. So when he enters the hell, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he's going to be there forever. That is one way of فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَعْتَكِدُ بِعِتِقَادَاتِهِمْ. Another way is فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, maybe he's been running away from riba. I'm very close to the time he died and say, I've been looking for jobs everywhere I didn't see. Let me go and work in GTD. He died. There was a sister like that. She's been rejecting. No working in bank. No working in that bank. So she got the job. She was telling her father, I don't want to do the job. The father said, you must do it. I don't want to do it. You must do it. Within the time they are arguing whether she would do the job, when they had given her the time she must report for the job, because she had a very good grade. She had a cancer in her neck, and she had had that cancer right from the time she was in the university. But because of hijab, people did not know she had the cancer. It was just, you know, worsening. So she was taken for a surgery in one of the hospitals. During the surgery, the doctor mistakenly caught something from the jugular vein. So she became paralyzed from the neck to the leg, and she died a few hours later. if she had gone to the worst of places on the earth, upon which the azab of Allah is hanging on it. I tell people, when you go into a bank, don't be proud that we are entering bank. The azab of Allah is just hanging on it. Allah's anger is hanging on every bank you see. When you go in and run out. If you have to, when you go, run out. Because it can descend anytime. So don't have, some people are proud that they enter banks. Some people are proud that they are bank workers. You that we should be crying for. You are the one that you are proud that that's where you are working. Just allow death to catch you there. So if you like yourself, repent. So that those things you had done in the past, Allah will transform them to good for you. Inna al-hasanati yudhibna al-sayyi'at. This hadith is a proof of it. Because it says, alayhi salatu wa salam, that wa inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi amali ahli an-nari hatta ma yakuna baynahu wa baynaha illa dhira. So someone will be acting upon the people, actions of the people of Jahannam. He's been doing every evil thing you can think of. Some people, when they join the military, they do anything evil you can think of. They go to money, drink alcohol, fornicate, adultery, every evil you can think of. As soldiers, they do it. Whether as officers or as men, they think that they are free. They kill anybody. They can do anything they like. But when they are retired, they just think, is this how I will continue my life? And it starts to make tawbah. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهَلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَدُخُلُهَا. Guys are funny. When he enters the Jannah, all of those ones that he had done, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And this hadith too makes us understand that. No matter how evil those things are. Look at the one who killed 99 people. He was looking for how to make tawbah. He went to a rahib, worshipper, ignorant worshipper. I was asking him, will I ever be forgiven? He said, you killed 99 people. Anna lahu tawbah. Where will he, who will forgive him? He said, Fakotalahu. He added him to the 100. So from the consequences of his ignorant fatwa is that he himself was killed. When you don't know what you are asked, just say you don't know. Because as you answer, your ignorance can bring evil to you. So he was killed. His ibadah stopped. With his upon his ignorance. Then he went to a learned person in the ulum of Sharia and other things. Say yes, you will forgive me. Who will think that you will not be forgiven? But that place where you are living, go out, go to such a place. He had not done the tawbah itself. He was not on the way to do the tawbah. And he died. We know the case of the popular hadith. He died on the way. So, فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَى فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. That is how Allah is. So he says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whichever one you do. So the ulama say, don't rest. الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Don't rest. Don't try a sin. Since people have been doing zina, you want to try it. If you try it, you may die upon it. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. If the action that he does from the action of the people of hell is not something that has to do with Aqidah, his case is one of two. Do we understand? If it has to do with something that takes somebody out of Islam, the case is Kufur, Khalid and Fiha, Finna. But if he's changing, it's something that has to do with sins, but it does not include things of belief, his case is one of two. The first case is Allah can forgive him that same Amalu Ahli Nar. Allah can forgive him. He says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So say it is tahta mashi'ati Allah. إِنْ شَاءَ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ يُعَذِّبُهُ. So if he likes, he forgives him. If he likes, he punishes him. That's how his case is one of two. If he likes, Allah forgives him. If he likes, Allah punishes him. If the change in his action is not a change that has to do with akida, belief. But if the change is a change that has to do with belief, yakhludu finna. So this is why each person, every one of us, myself, you, I, everybody, we must be watching our belief, we must be watching our actions by the day, because we do not know when the time will come. That is what will make us be suspended in piled action. We do not know, so we have to continue. So he told the companions, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, hey, halu, be walking, no? Don't stop. He says, فَكُلُّمْ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. The one for which you are created will be made easy for you. So walk, walk. Don't rely, say, ah, alhamdulillah, we are the Baba Dini. Don't stop there. Be walking. Don't say, ah, my father is the back. Because on the day of Qiyamah, my father is so and so, is not there. So walk, keep on walking. That's what he told the companions. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So, and this was how the pious predecessors were. They were always walking and they were never stopping. There is one or two hadiths I would like us to read. The first one is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. When she spoke about something like this, reporting a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one that's come to my vision now is that of Abu Huraira. He said radiallahu anhu that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rajula la ya'malu zamana tawila. A man will be working for a long period of time, the amali ahli al-jannah, the working in the deeds of the people of al-jannah. Thumma yukhtamu lahu amaluhu amali ahli al-nah. So his works will be ended with the works of the people of the fire. Says وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ الزَّمَنَ الطَّوِيلَ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ ثُمَّ يُخْتَمُ لَهُ عَمَلُهُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The same way, the same hadith. So someone will be walking, but you see this riwayah came with what? The ikhtisar. Because it's only reporting the last part of this same hadith. The riwayah is in Sahih Muslim. Now some of the scholars, like Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah and others before him rahimahumullah have said that this hadith only has to do with someone who was walking the walk of Al-Jannah, but he was not a sincere person. Yes, it's walking the walk of Al-Jannah, but he was not sincere. He's performing tahajjud, yes, people to see him. He's memorizing Quran, people to see him. He's learning Arabiya, people to see him. Or he was not just sincere, or is a munafiq aslan. So yabtunu al-kufr wa yuzhiru al-iman. So they say ya'malu bi amali ahli al-jannah fi ma yabdu lina. He is walking the walk of al-jannah from what is apparent to the people. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says that this interpretation is not correct. He did not say that after Uthaymeen, so that you don't think, ah, what's this man saying? Did Ibn Hajar come after? I said some people had said so before Uthaymeen. Alayhi rahmatullah. His ijtihad made him to say that, rahimahullah. Because he's from the greatest learned persons this ummah ever knew. Al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah. He's from the most learned human beings on earth in these our times. In terms of Arabiya, in terms of the issues of Aqeedah, in terms of fiqh, Sheikh Uthaymeen can bring a fiqh out from where there cannot be a fiqh. You think that there's nothing there, but he will make his impact for you and say there's a hukum there. Let's just mention it on a very light note. And Sheikh Uthaymeen gave an estimate that roasted meat is better and more nutritious than cooked meat and fried meat. from a verse of the Quran. Al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, from the erudition he attained in knowledge alayhi rahmatullah, he said when the two angels came, when the angels three angels or two that came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said rusuluna, he can't say rusul if there are two. It says falamma ja'athum rusuluna, when he was talking about Qawmul Lut, the same thing he used rusuluna when in Ankabut, when he was talking about Ibrahim. He said yujadiluna fi Qawmul Lut inna Ibrahim la halimun awahum munib. So there are three or more than two. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw these angels, what did he prepare for them? Ijlin Hanif, he roasted meat. He said, if he, because he understood as the Nabi of Allah, Rasul of Allah, Khalil of Allah, that min al iman, from iman, of course it says, man kana yu'minu billahi al-yawm al-akhir, fal yukrim dayfahu. So he is cooking the best form of meat for them. Ikraman lil dayf. It is not possible that there is a way of making the meat that is better than roasting it, and yet he went to roast it. He says, so the fact that Ibrahim alayhi salam, with his iman in Allah, roasted the meat to make the yafa, his indication that roasted meat is better than roasting. I'm saying that the area where you think there is no fitu, alayhi rahmatullah. He said that in his Sharia Riyadh al-Salihin. So he was Imam alayhi rahmatullah. So his statement is not just talk. It's not just a talk. So if you want to say other than him, you want to take a position away from his own position, you have to do that with every adab. You have to refer to someone better than him. So that's why we refer to Ibn Hajar after we mentioned Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, alayhim rahmatullah. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said that hadith of the companion who was fighting violently on the side of the Muslims, and then the Prophet said he's from the people of the fire, and then he was tailored. We quoted this hadith last week. He was tailored and then followed, and then it was ascertained, and the Prophet said what he said alayhi salatu wasalam, that some of you will be doing the actions of the people of Jannah. It was that hadith that Sheikh Uthaymeen used to explain this other hadith. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, no, these two hadiths are talking about two different things. This second hadith that Sheikh Uthaymeen brought is talking about those who are doing something for show off. And it is talking about the munafiqun. But this fourth hadith that we are considering today is talking about su'ul khatima, good end or evil end, evil end or good end. The other one is talking about insincere people and the munafiqun. And this one is talking about imma good end or evil end. That's why the work was a work that was bringing them closer and closer to Al-Jannah, such that it was a little distance that was left between their dying and entering Al-Jannah and the time that they changed. If the job they have been doing is not from the job of the people of Al-Jannah, it will not be bringing them close to Al-Jannah. Because what can bring someone, you say, hatta ma yakunu baynahu wa baynaha illa zira. So it means that the work they were doing was a work that was accepted by Allah. And if a work was insincere, Allah cannot accept it. So it will not bring them to Al-Jannah. Such that we now say, hatta ma yakunu baynahu wa baynaha illa zira. So it means that this hadith actually means what it shows. It has its apparent meaning. That when you walk, expect, pray that Allah make you end well. Allah make me end well. When you walk, pray that Allah, each of the scholars who discussed this hadith from where I saw, each of them, after they mentioned this hadith, they are praying, Allah, give us husnul khatima, give us end well. When they say husnul khatima, they say, na'udhu billah min zalik. Because you can never tell. There are many people like that in the history of Islam. We talked about Muhammad al-Juhani, the one who started Qadariya. He is from the greatest people, greatest scholars of Islam. Wasil ibn Asa al-Ghazal, the one who started Mu'tazila, is from the greatest scholars of Islam before he went astray and started what he started. So there is no guarantee. Every person should be watching. And that's why we know the importance of some of the companions being told that they will be in Al-Jannah. People like Abu Bakr and Siddiq. So it gives them rest that we cannot change. But even at that, did they stop working? They were still from the best of workers. So what about you that you don't have an assurance from Allah or His Messenger? So we need to work. So we should be working day and night and not relent. We ask Allah to make each and every one of us end well. So this hadith is straightforward now. We can go back to it and read it calmly. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman nutfatan. Thumma yakunu alaqatan misla dhalik. Thumma yakunu mudghatan misla dhalik. Thumma yursal ilayhi al-malak. فينفق فيه الروح ويؤمر بأربع كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ضياء فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها رواه البخاري ومسلم. I think this was where we started discussing the hadith. We started discussing the hadith from those who reported the hadith. So the hadith is not only reported by Bukhari and Muslim, but Imam al-Nawawi has mentioned Bukhari and Muslim because he intends ikhtisar, he intends to be brief, intense brevity in this work. So he didn't go ahead and start saying Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, till the end of all of whom we mentioned reported the hadith. I hope the hadith is well understood. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. We have only one question. What is the question, inshallah? Oh, we'll come back to that next week, bi-idhnillah. You see, there are, like we said, implications of this hadith that we are not able to resolve today. We have just tried to go through the hadith to expose its meaning and its intricacies for us. And you see from all those things that if we had just gone ahead, there would be so many things we would have left behind. You read this hadith, you think you have it's well understood. But if you pick another hadith again, you say, what's happening? So that's what, but I hope the Iznillah, with the explanations we give, I hope the Iznillah, like, there will not be such. So by next week, we'll go into those matters, issues of abortion and things like that, inshallah. We'll look at them, the Iznillah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The writing and the putting of the soul, which one comes first? We say that the writing comes first before the putting of the soul. But from the copy of Arbaun that we are reading, it will appear as if the soul was put and then it was written. But that the correct thing is that it was written and then the soul was blown. Alaykum as-salam. Nutfa. Million for the men, the nutfa of men.
Some 400.
about family. Only one will go and fertilize. All the rest will come down or do another thing and get out of the womb of the woman. We said after fertilization, there is cell differentiation. So when the cells are differentiating, each one of them, look at Allah. The male cell, the male reproductive cell is one cell. The female reproductive cell is one cell. Am I right, doctor? One cell. One. Look at the billions of cells. It will be more than billions. Only Allah knows the number of cells on our body. You have a number? Medically? Okay. Only Allah knows the number of cells, but the cells came from only one cell male, one cell female. So when they come together, they begin to multiply. Blastomeres. They begin to multiply in serious rates and they begin to form. So each one, they are not just forming. Because the cells that form the eyelids are different from the cells that form the cheeks. So the way they will take shape will be different from one another from the very beginning. Allah makes them know, you it is eye, you will form. You it is hair, you will form. You it is ear, you will form. So as they are differentiating, they are growing, building, multiplying, each one will be differentiating. They call it a name, epigenetics. Okay. Epigenetical. You know, I'm just trying to remember O level biology. Don't mind me. Naam. Assalamu alaikum salam. We'll discuss that next week in the evening. La. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Next week, inshallah. Abortion, next week, inshallah. Okay. Yes. No. Alaykum assalam. Those ones are messengers. So they know it because they are going to deliver a message. وَيَنْفُوا مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. If Allah likes, He can change it again. He says, وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Aha, that is the one nobody knows. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And then we can start saying, okay, so it means from beginning Allah has destined that some people will die and go to Al-Janna. Yes. Don't forget, when we were explaining Qadar, we say Qadar has four levels. The first level is ilm, Allah's knowledge. If you deny that this thing happens, what you are saying is that Allah did not know that those things will happen until they happened. A'udhu billah. He says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. And this is from Ashiya too. So Allah knew everything before they occurred. It is this thing that is in the knowledge of Allah that is written down in Ummul Kitab. And it is from Ummul Kitab that the commandment is given to the angel to write down. So those ones are just muwakkalun bil umur, mursalun. That's why it says, summa yursalu ilayhi, messenger, go and discharge this duty. So the absolute knowledge of it lies in the hands of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in His knowledge. So if the person says, oh Allah, I extend my life now, Allah says, okay, I extend it. In the womb, he said 40 years. He was praying, oh Allah, I extend. He says, la yaruddu al-qada illa dua. So Allah says, okay, I extend it by 40. So he says, yamfullahu ma yasha. Allah cleans what he likes. Why you speak? Some of them, we keep it like that. No, don't worry. Don't extend it. Don't reduce it. Let him be going like that. But وَإِنَّهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, that it will be extended or not extended is with him. He knows that if it is extended, it is there that it will be extended. Already, أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. If it is not extended, it is there that it will not be extended. Why you speak? وَإِنَّهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. عليكم السلام. Don't be confused, inshallah. When it is said risk, it's not only money, it's not only kudi in billions of naira or millions of naira. This air, free air you are breathing, is risk from Allah. This clothes you are wearing is risk from Allah. Everything that you can think of that does not belong to you, even those ones that you think belong to you, they are rizq from Allah. Rain that falls, rizq from Allah. Al-Jannah is rizq from Allah. And then it says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. So your rizq comes from the heavens. They come from Allah. So if it is written that, for example, let's monetize everything, this one will spend $100 billion, because that is the language people understand. You say this man will spend $100 million, he will not spend 101, he will only spend 100, even if he's sleeping in his house. And the same thing applies, even if he's sleeping in his house, if it's been written that he is Sa'id, he will still enter Al-Jannah. But which one is written for you? The reason why you must not sleep in the house? You don't know. So that's the reason why everybody is working. If any one of us knew what is written for him, he will be sleeping in his house. But he doesn't know. When he sleeps in his house, what is written will still come to him. Do you understand? But he will not sleep in his house, because he does not know that perhaps what is written for him is that if he sleeps in his house, some guys will come into the house and cut off his head. Yes, it has happened to people. People slept in their houses, running away from fitna. The fitna came and met them in the house. Didn't he say in an authentic hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, that if a man is destined to die in the city, when it is the time for that, he will travel to that city. The hadith is in Sahih Jami al-Sahih. He will travel to that city where he will die. So if they told him, don't go and say, I should not go to US. I have the visa. I have the nene. I will go. So he will go and he doesn't know that he's going to die there. So the same thing applies for the risk. If you are sleeping in the house, but you are seeing that the money is outside, you know you're sleeping in the house is dangerous. So everybody will be working and be praying to Allah for tawfiq and be hoping in him for acceptance. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.